We're turning together, please, tonight in the scriptures to the second book of Kings and to the fourth chapter. It's great to see you all at the meeting. We thank you for coming. We're encouraged by your presence, and we're very encouraged by all the work that the fellowship here in Macclesfield has done in preparation for these meetings. And it's good that the Lord has answered prayer to encourage you in your labours as well. There was a famous evangelist, Stephen Alford. He was born to missionary parents in Africa. He married a girl from Lurgan. Some of you know where the trees come across the road and form an arch near the Clock Mills. The road doesn't come by that route anymore. But that's where he proposed to Heather Brown, her name was, from Lurgan. They were going up to the north coast, and they stopped off there on the journey. But Stephen Alford, in all his great gospel missions that he preached around the world, he would say to the congregation, say to the believers in the meeting, I want you to come to the meetings regularly and faithfully. And he would say, come but not alone. So I'd like you to take that in your heart tonight. I want you to keep coming to the meetings. They will be over very, very quickly. So come as often as you can, but endeavour every night that you do come that you're not going to come alone, that you're going to bring somebody else with you. And I know from the reports already you've been busy, and there have been a lot of visitors in, and there's been a lot of responses to the invitations that you have given out and the personal invitations that you've made. So be encouraged by that, and encourage others. There's a work to be done. There's a ministry just in going out and inviting, bringing others into the gospel meetings. You can consecrate your car to that work and use it just to bus or to ferry people into to these gospel meetings. So be busy for the Lord while you have the opportunity. I brought along some of the little paper pulpit booklets that we publish. The committee of our church in Armagh has published these. They're messages that I have written and had published in the Belfast newsletter. We've written for newsletters for newspapers maybe over 25 years, started when we were in South Wales. We enjoy that ministry. We've got a lot of feedback from it. That's how these booklets came about. Folk that wanted the messages to give to others or to have copies of them for themselves. There's 31 messages in each of these booklets. There's three volumes. I've got volume 2 and 3, or a few of them, with me tonight. The idea is that you buy one and give it to an unsaved person or backslider, and encourage them to read one message every day for a month, and as they read the message, that you pray that the Lord might speak to their hearts. So you might be interested. They're generally £3 each. We do an offer. You can have any two for £5. There's somebody that you maybe have in your heart that hasn't come to the meetings, and if they don't come, it's another way of presenting them with the message of the gospel. You can give the booklet to them. So if you're interested in any of those, come up and see us after the service is over. So we're going to read together from the scriptures. We're reading in 2 Kings chapter 4. We'll just read a few verses because of the matter of time. So we're in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, the 22nd verse. This is the story of the Shunammite woman. 2 Kings 4:22. Let's hear the word of the Lord. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. So we'll close there at the end of the 26th verse. And we're sure the Lord will add his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. Let's just take a moment to pray. We'll settle our hearts. We need your prayers. We encourage you to pray from the heart, even in the meeting just now. Ask the Lord to bless the remaining part of this service, that he'll come in a special way amongst us. Father, we thank you for your presence already. Thank you for the blessing we've known, the word of testimony that has been given, the messages in song. Thank you for the songs of Zion that we've sung together as well, and the word of God that has gone forth, the message of the gospel, even through all of these parts of the service. And Lord, we commit the remainder of the meeting into your hands. We're glad that we can commit our way unto thyself. You've assured us that when you put forth your sheep, you go before them. We pray, Father, go before us through the rest of this meeting. Settle our hearts. We pray a stillness will come upon the gathering. We pray, Father, you'll take away from our hearts and our minds the thoughts of all of the things of this world and all the things of this life. We want to pray, Father, for this little while, that our hearts will be captive to thy word. And we pray that your word will come tonight with power. The word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, our prayer is that the power of your word will be known and felt. We thank you for the power of the gospel. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And Lord, we pray that the power of the gospel will be demonstrated again in this service tonight, in the saving of a precious soul. Answer these our cries, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text tonight is the final verse that we read from the 26th verse of 2 Kings 4. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Especially the question, is it well with thee? Those of you who are here on Saturday night, remember we considered a question from 2 Samuel 19, the words of old Barzillai, how long have I to live? I'd like you to think of that. Remember, it's important for us to be wise, to consider our latter end. But I want you to think of this question with us this evening, just as a follow-on. Is it well with thee? Can I emphasize to you, young people, that this question isn't dealing with the financial. It's not asking, is it well with you financially? It's not asking tonight, is it well with you physically, as far as your health is concerned? It's not asking, is it well with your career? Is it well with you as far as climbing up your career ladder? This question is a question that concerns the spiritual. It's a question that concerns your soul. So I want to ask you tonight, is it well with your soul? If you think of the Shunammite and the circumstances in which she was found, her son was dead. The man of God was sending his servant Gehazi with the questions, is it well with thee? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? Remember, the child is dead, but she answered it as well. And young people, there's only one way, let me stress that to you tonight. There's only one way that it can be said of any person that it is well when they're dead, and that is if it's well with their soul. So I want you to be in no doubt at the outset tonight, this is a question that concerns the spiritual. It's a question that concerns your soul. Horatius Spafford lived in the great city of Chicago. He was a friend of D.L. Moody. He was a lawyer, but he had heavily invested his money in property. He lost a lot of money, lost a lot of property in the great Chicago fire. There was a number of circumstances, very difficult, trying circumstances that he and his family passed through. The losing of that property, the losing of that money was just one.
He had only one son. He had four daughters. His only son died at just 4 years of age. He decided he was going to take the family over to England. D.L. Moody was holding meetings there at that particular time. Wanted to go over on holiday a little, spend a bit of time with Moody and Sankey, support them in the meetings they were doing. At the last minute, Mr. Spafford was delayed in New York City. There was a business matter that arose. Had to send the family on without him. They were sailing across the Atlantic. The ship in which they were travelling on collided one night with another, and the ship sank. The vast majority of people on the vessel lost their lives. His four daughters drowned, every one of them. His wife was found unconscious. She was clinging to just a piece of the ship floating there on the top of the ocean. Whenever she got to the United Kingdom, they were brought into Cardiff in South Wales. She sent that famous telegram back to her husband, saved alone. There was a few more details on it, but that was the most striking part of the telegram. He set out to travel across the Atlantic to meet with her. When they neared the spot where the ship had gone down, where his daughters had drowned, the captain called them out onto the deck, and he said, "I believe we're near the spot where your daughters lost their lives." He thought about those circumstances, and it was those events that led him to write that great hymn that we're all familiar with, "It is well with my soul." When peace like a river attendeth my way, or when sorrow, and you think of all the sorrows he had passed through, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Can I ask you tonight, young people, is it well with your soul? She said in the gospel service this evening. You need to think of that. You need to ask yourself that question. I wonder, could you sing that hymn truthfully? Could you say, "It is well with my soul"? I want to stress to you, young people, that is what we are interested in these meetings. That's what we're interested in this gospel mission. We're interested in your soul and in the salvation of your soul. We're not interested tonight in your religion, your denomination, your nationality, your social standing. We want you to know that all are welcome to come along to these gospel meetings. This is the church of the open door. The door is open for all to come to hear the word of God. What we want you to know, what we want you to be clear about is this, is that we're interested in your soul. We're interested in the condition, the spiritual condition of your soul tonight in the light of eternity. Sometimes the minister asks the question, "Is your soul saved?" That's a very good question. You ponder that carefully just for a moment or two. Is your soul saved? Sometimes when I've asked people that question, the reply that I've got has been quite sharp, quite cheeky. Some people might respond by saying, "Mind your own business." Well, I say straight back to them, "I am. Because your soul is my business. I'm about my master's business, seeking lost souls and seeking to win them to the Saviour. My business, my responsibility is the souls of men and women." The Bible says that we watch for your souls as they that must give an account. General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he was invited to Buckingham Palace many years ago. It was in the days of King George V, our late Queen's grandfather. King George V kept an autograph book, and before General Booth left the palace that day, the King asked him to sign his autograph book. When General Booth signed his autograph, he generally wrote a little verse before his signature, and the verse was this: "Some men's ambition is art. Some men's ambition is fame. Some men's ambition is gold. But my ambition is the souls of men. That's a good ambition, young people. And that's our concern tonight. That's our interest. That's our burden. The souls of young people. The souls of this community. And we're concerned about your soul. We're concerned about the condition of your soul. And our desire, as you sit tonight in the meeting, as you've heard the testimony, the messages and song, as you hear the word of God, our concern is that you would be concerned. That you would be concerned about your own soul. I mentioned D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was converted through a Sunday school teacher, a man called Edward Kimball. He was a little shy and timid, but the Lord had given him a concern for young D.L. Moody. At that time he was a shoe salesman. Edward Kimball went to the very shop where D.L. Moody was selling shoes. And he went into the shop one day, and he simply said to D.L. Moody, "I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about your soul." And you know, young people, the result of that was D.L. Moody started to think, well, if my Sunday school teacher's concerned about me, maybe I should be concerned about myself. And that's our prayer as you come to the meeting tonight and as you come to these meetings every night this week. Our desire is that you'll be concerned. If you're not already saved, pray you'll be concerned about your soul. David the psalmist said, he lamented, "No man cared for my soul." Maybe you've thought that. Maybe you felt like that. I want you to know you're wrong. That's not the case. We want you to be clear and sure tonight. We care. We care about your soul. Macrofelt Youth Fellowship cared enough to arrange these meetings, to hold this gospel mission, to invite you along to this service this evening. So I want you to know our burden, our desire is to win your soul. We want to win your soul for Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." Can I encourage every Christian young person in the meeting, that's a business that you should give your time, your talents to. The winning of souls. "He that winneth souls is wise." It doesn't mean that you're smarter than some other Christian. What the verse means is that there's nothing wiser that you could do. There's nothing wiser that you could give your time and your talents to. It's a wise way to spend your life, to use the talents that God has bestowed upon you. So let me ask you all for a moment, just stop and think about your soul. You've been thinking about your home, thinking about your money, your job prospects, maybe thinking about your body, about your health. You're thinking about your education. You're thinking about a friendship, maybe some relationship that you're involved in or you want to be involved in. All sorts of things that flood into our minds. We'll take a few minutes tonight in the service and think about your soul. Your soul. And everyone here, doesn't matter what age group, what category in the family you fall into, this verse addresses the family as a whole. Is it well with thee? That was the wife. Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? So this is a question, young people, for everyone. Doesn't matter what part of the family you fall into. I want you to see that this evening. Can I stress to you that you have two parts, body and soul. Some theologians take the position that man is three parts, body, soul, and spirit. But at very least, you have two parts, your body and your soul. Sometimes we get taken up with the body. We get taken up with the physical, how strong we are, how healthy we are, building up our fitness, all of those things, and they have their place. But I want you tonight to look to your soul as you sit in this gospel service. I can remind you, young people, that your soul is that invisible part of you. The soul's invisible. The soul is something that can't be seen. But even though it can't be seen, I want you tonight to be in no doubt that your soul is real. Way back at creation, the scriptures tell us that God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So be in no doubt tonight you have a soul. It's an invisible part. Many years ago there was a Methodist minister. His name was the Reverend James Armstrong. He was a faithful gospel preacher, faithful servant of the Lord. One day he met a doctor, medical doctor. The doctor was a man that hated the gospel. He was a denier of the word of God. He didn't believe in God as you and I would. And the doctor challenged the Reverend Armstrong about the work that he was engaged in. Said, "Are you one of these that preach for the saving of souls?" The minister assured him that he was. So he asked him this series of questions. The doctor said to the minister, "Did you ever see a soul? You just think of that. Have you ever seen a soul?" Well, he said, "No." The doctor said, "Well, have you ever heard a soul?" See, he's going down all the senses. "Have you ever heard a soul?" "No, never heard a soul." He said, "What about smell? Can you say that you've smelt a soul?" He said, "No." "What about taste? Ever tasted a soul?" And he again answered in the negative, "No, never tasted a soul." "What about feeling? Have you felt a soul?" Well, the minister said, "Yes, I have. Glory to God, I felt the blessing of the Lord and my own soul." So the minister's, or the doctor's argument to the minister was, of your five senses, four of them say that there's no such thing as a soul. Well, that minister was helped of God that day. And he asked the doctor the same series of questions, but not about a soul. He asked the doctor the questions about pain. You've dealt with a lot of people in pain. He said, "Tell me, have you ever seen pain? You've seen people in pain, that's one thing. But what about seeing a pain itself? You ever seen a pain?" "No." "You ever heard a pain?" "You've heard people in pain when they cry out. But as far as actually hearing a pain itself, no, never heard a pain. Never smelt a pain. Never tasted a pain." "Well, what about felt?" "Yes." He says, "I felt pain." Well, he said, "There you are. Four of the five senses say there's no such thing as pain." So the minister said back to the doctor, "You know there's pain. And I know beyond doubt there is a soul. And I want you to be aware of that tonight, young people. Your soul's invisible, but it's very, very real. And the danger, because your soul is invisible, is you don't think about it. You don't give it the consideration that you should. You neglect your soul. I wonder, is that what you've been doing in recent days? You've been neglecting your soul. Haven't been thinking about it as you should. If that's true of you, I want you to know that's a fearful thing. That's a very, very dangerous thing. Not to think and not to consider your soul. You know, sometimes that's why sickness comes. Why the Lord allows sickness. Why the Lord brings sickness into our lives. Sometimes that's why the Lord allows accidents. Why he allows fearful events. Why there's deaths in our family. Why the Lord takes away from our homes and our families some of our loved ones, those that are dearest to us. Johnny mentioned that in his testimony tonight. You think of Acts 16, the Philippian jailer, the earthquake. What was the result of that earthquake? It brought him to the very brink of eternity. It caused him to think about his soul and about spiritual things as he had never done before. So your soul's an invisible part. I want to say to you as well that your soul is an immortal part. The idea of the word immortal is it will never end. There is a difference between eternal and immortal. Something that's eternal has had no beginning and no end. Something that is immortal will have no end. So your soul is your immortal part. Your body will die, but your soul continues to exist in eternity after your body has died. Remember what Paul said, talking about the Lord. He said, the Lord who only hath immortality, That day of those words is, he's the only one that has immortality in and of himself. Remember, we're made in the likeness of God. The likeness of God that we possess is a spiritual likeness. And your soul, in that spiritual likeness, possesses immortality. Your soul is no end. So I want to emphasize that to you tonight. Your body one day will die. We considered that a little on Saturday evening in that question, how long have I to live? One day your body will die, but your soul will live on. Think of the question. It's a very interesting question. What is death? What would be your definition of death? If we were to call the doctor in here tonight, the medical person, the scientist, they would all give you their thoughts, their definition of what death is. In the Bible, death is separation. Especially physical death is the separation of the soul from the body. Do you remember the story of Elisha at Zarephath and the widow's son died? Similar story to the one that's here before us, the death of the child here. Well, in Zarephath, when the widow's son died, remember that Elisha performed a miracle and the widow's son was raised to life again. And the Bible says that his soul returned into him. So what that means is when he died, his soul departed. Death is the separation of the soul from the body. When you die, your soul will depart from your body out into eternity. So I want you to see tonight, young person, your body will die, but your soul will never die. It will never cease to exist. It will go out into God's great eternity. And the question then will be, where will it go? Where will your soul go? What will the destiny be of your soul in eternity? Remember, it can only go to heaven if you know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior. The other thing I'll emphasize to you tonight about your soul is, it's the important part. The body is important. The Lord expects us to look after and take care of the body that he has given to us. But let me emphasize it and impress it on your hearts tonight. Your soul is the most important part. Be in no doubt of that, young people. And realize as you think of your soul and how valuable it is, how precious it is, realize that your soul could be lost. Think of those solemn words of the Lord Jesus. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Your soul can be lost, can go to a lost eternity. You can lose your job. Maybe some of you have had that experience. How disappointing, how painful. Some people have lost their home. Home been burnt to the ground. Lost so many valuable things. Not so much the financial value, but sometimes lost things of great personal value that have been in the family for years. Some people have lost their savings. Maybe they've been scammed. Maybe they've been robbed. Some people have lost their business. Some people even have lost their mind. You go back in the history of the monarchy of this country to George III. George III was known as mad King George. He lost his mind at the end of his life. So there's so many things, young people, you can lose. But the greatest is the loss of your soul. There's a little verse that says, to lose your wealth is much, and to lose your health is more. But to lose your soul is such a loss that no man can restore. You be in no doubt tonight. Let there be no question in your mind whatsoever. This is the greatest loss that any person can experience. If you lose your soul goes to hell for all eternity. So if you're unsaved in this meeting tonight, we want to tell you plainly that that's what you're in danger of. You're in danger of losing your soul. Young people, it's not well with your soul tonight if you're unsaved, if you're not converted. It's not well with you tonight, it's not well with you spiritually, if you're still on the broad road to hell. It's not well with you this evening, it's not well with you spiritually if you're still in your sins. It's not well with you if you're under conviction of sin, if the Spirit is striving and troubling you about your sin and the life that you're living. Maybe you've no rest, you've no peace, maybe you can't sleep. You're troubled about your life, your sin, your wrongdoing. Maybe even your past has caught up with you. Maybe you can't get away from it. Be sure your sin will find you out. It doesn't say be sure your sin will be found out. That's not always the case. But it will find you out. It will one day catch up with you. You reap what you sow. The Spirit of God will take a dealing with you over all of those things. Remember, the Bible says of Felix, he trembled as he heard Paul speak that day. He actually trembled under conviction. And if that's your condition in the service tonight, be in no doubt it's not well. It's not well with you. And we want to warn you not to fool yourself about that in any way. It may be well with you in business. At present, maybe it's never been better. Big fat wallet, big fat bank book, big fat bank account. May be well with your health. Might be well with your circumstances. Might be well tonight with your prospects. But what, young people, about your soul? It may be well with your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. May be well with the other children in your family, your mother, your father, maybe some other members of the wider family. It's well with them. You know that they're saved. But remember, that's not enough. What about yourself? What about you personally? Is it well with you tonight? Is it well with your soul? Make no mistake about it. It will only be well with your soul if you're saved. If you can say your soul is saved. If your sins are forgiven and your faith is in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. You can only say tonight that it's well with your soul if you're sure beyond all doubt that you're going to heaven whenever your life is over. Can I ask each one of you, as we draw near a close tonight, can you say that? Can you rise from the chair when the meeting's over and a little later go out the door knowing it's well with your soul as far as eternity and its destiny and eternity can be? I assure you, that is the vital thing. The vital thing. There is nothing more important in this world or in this life. It matters not what it is. It matters not, young people, how valuable it is. It matters not who it is. There is nothing in this world more important than knowing that your soul is saved and ready for eternity. Remember Luke 12, the rich farmer. Maybe there's somebody that falls into that description in the meeting tonight. Well, God said to that rich farmer, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." Just think of that, this night. He thought he had years in front of him. Remember, he was pulling down his barns, he was building greater. He thought he had years of his life before him. But God said, your life's going to end tonight. This very night, your soul will be required. His soul was summoned out into eternity. If that was to happen to you, young person, how would it be with you? Is it well? Is it well with your soul? The text says, is it well with thee? See how personal it is? Well with thee. I trust, I pray earnestly, that every one of you will be able to answer as this Shunammite woman did. It is well. Remember, the only way to be able to say that is if you know Christ, if you're born again, if you've received him into your heart, let it be your Saviour. So here's a very important question. We thought on Saturday night, how long have I to live? Well, in the light of the brevity of death, here's a great question to ask yourself, and a vital question. Is it well? Is it well with thee? Is it well with your soul?